Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." What does that mean? I think it means two things. First of all, because of our sin, both personal sin and imputed sin from Adam, death has come to all mankind, and specifically to us as individuals. Every single one of us will die unless the Lord returns. But secondly, I think it means this also. Because of our sin, again, both personal and imputed sin from Adam, we are all guilty of murder. I think it leads to our death, and I believe we are guilty of murder. For the wages of sin is death. Do you remember who the first descendant of Adam and Eve was? His name is Cain. Do you remember Cain's action, what he's known for? He murdered his own brother, Abel. And I believe that the point of this first descendant is to show us that we are all as guilty as Cain. We are all as guilty as Cain. And you say, no, I have not physically murdered anyone. No. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:21-22, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." By this standard of Jesus, we are all serial killers. And what is the punishment? Hell. Hell, an eternity away from God, is the punishment. What then is the answer to the blood that is on our hands? What's the answer to this terrible predicament that we're in? The answer to the blood that's on our hands is the blood of Christ. Now, I asked you to pay special attention to the sufferings of Christ all through this narrative. And there is specific attention to the blood. There are many, many references to the blood. All through Matthew's account of the passion and death of Christ, the emphasis is on the physical torture, excruciating pain, and blood. If I were to take you back to the two key Old Testament prophecies of the crucifixion, Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, we're not going to take time to read those tonight, but you can go home and read them on your own tonight. You would read of the physical suffering and death of the Messiah. Indeed, the heavy emphasis of the Old Testament as a whole is on the physical sacrifice of animals. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. In fact, immediately after Adam's sin, what happened? When God found them, he killed an animal and clothed Adam in the skins of the animal. Death, blood. There have been throughout the ages some people called the Gnostics. These Gnostic heretics, and they have been in every generation pretty much since Jesus' time, they have taught the lie that the spiritual realm is inherently good and the physical realm is inherently bad. Therefore, they argued that Jesus was just a phantom. He was merely a ghost that appeared in a physical body, but he didn't really have a physical body, because if he had a physical body, he would be evil. But that is a heresy straight from the pit of hell. When God was finished with the physical creation, do you remember what he said? He said it was good. He said it was good. It is absolutely essential that Jesus was a physical man and he die a physical death to atone for our sins. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." There is no atonement without the shedding of blood. I want to just read for us Hebrews chapter 9. Please turn there and follow along with me. Hebrews chapter 9. Just listen and take in as I read for us Hebrews 9. "Now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations have thus been made. The priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you.' And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness of sins. There was blood all through the Old Testament, day after day after day, and every year on the Day of Atonement, when the priest would go into the most holy place with blood for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. But Jesus, look back at verse 12. He entered once for all, that's for all time, into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Our only hope of salvation is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If he had not physically died for us, if he had not shed his own blood, we would all be lost in our sins. But with the shedding of blood, I'll turn the verse around, with the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness of sins. Praise God for his amazing gift to us. Would you pray with me? Father, our minds cannot comprehend all of the amazing truths that we find in your word. But we do see this very clear and plain example all through the Old Testament that sin brings death, and the only way to cover that sin is through blood, through a sacrifice. And it all points so perfectly to our Savior Jesus, the perfect man, the God-man. Because he is eternal and because he is human, his sacrifice saves us from all our sins for all time. Oh, Jesus, we rejoice in this amazing truth. Help us to see and savor you in all your beauty and glory. Oh, we are undeserving sinners, and you are a gracious Savior. We praise you and thank you. In your name we pray.